Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
I am David Johnson, along with Michael Court and Dave Bevin. And the dust has finally settled on this 2016 signing class for the Ole Miss Rebels. And just to go back momentarily to Wednesday, the day started obviously with great elation for Ole Miss fans, particularly when A.J. Brown announced at Starkville High School that he would be a Rebel. Seemed like only minutes later, the elation turned into dejection as Jeffrey Simmons stunned everyone to Mississippi State. And that seemed to put a wet towel on the fire that was the emotion for the Ole Miss fan base on this 2016 signing class. But the final dust settled, and in the 247 Sports composite team rankings, Ole Miss number 6. In the nation. By number 1, Alabama, 2, Florida State, 3, LSU, 4, Ohio State, 5, Michigan. And Hugh Freeze has already said he's not doing any sleepovers with any recruits that Jim Harbaugh did. So Ole Miss number 6, finishing ahead of the top 10, 7, Georgia, 8, USC, 9, Auburn, and number 10, Clemson. How you can have a problem with this class, finishing number 6 in the nation, is beyond me. And someone made the point on the board the other day, guys, that had Shea Patterson not already been in this class, had Benito Jones not already been in this class, had DeKalen Metcalf not already been in this class, Wednesday would have been looked upon by Ole Miss fans, and some do look upon it, as a historic day, a class that topped what is now that legendary 2013 group. I understand the disappointment in some quarters, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, because there were some big-time targets that simply didn't close out for the Rebels. I get that. And I get the dejection in the moment. As always is the case, you really have to look at things from a long view. 7-6, 8-5, 9-4, 10-3. This is another step towards the improvement, the new norm, as people like to say, of the Ole Miss football program. But the Jeffrey Simmons thing was the gut shot, I guess, on Wednesday. And Dave, you and I off air were just talking about Barney Farr's comments. And Barney very instrumental in the recruitment of Jeffrey Simmons. In an ESPN article that was published by Chris Lowe this morning. And I think to the effect, Dave, Barney said that sometimes somebody's peeing down your back and they're telling you that it's raining. And that was probably a direct correlation to Simmons' announcement.
Well, and you know, it's a true comment. I mean, you're gonna win some, and you're gonna lose some in recruiting. That's what recruiting is. And just as you pointed out, David, that this is a historic class for Ole Miss, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, there were some misses, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, but Ole Miss got some really good signees in this class. That should not be overlooked on the defensive side of the ball. One that's just really coming to my mind right now, and that's early enrollee 4-star defensive end Charles Lally. And not only are you getting a 4-star defensive end with incredible size and incredible speed, but in his senior year at Stockbridge, he led the entire state of Georgia in sacks. Out of every prospect in the state of Georgia, he led the entire state in sacks with over 18 sacks. So,
well, and I'll tell you Dave, in the process, he broke Robert Kendiche's Georgia state record along the way.
Mm-hmm. So there were some very, very key fields in it. And, you know, like we mentioned, there were some of those misses with Jeffrey Simmons, a long shot with Mike Juarez in the linebacker position. But overall, I'm with you, David. I just can't find a way to be dissatisfied about this class.
The number six signing class in America, rated higher on other services. ESPN has it as the number four class, but the 247 Sports Composite, it settles in at number six. The 2013 class settled in at number eight. So all in all, the highest rated class in the history of Ole Miss football. And, you know, the other thing to consider, Michael, is that if you just looked at what Ole Miss got on the offensive side of the football, it's arguably the top class in the nation.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone that Ole Miss brought in on offense, I mean, there's really nowhere you can complain about that. They put together an offensive line that if you needed to, by the time their juniors plug in, every single guy there left to right, you have an excellent offensive line. They're building tremendous depth there, and it's led by, you know, a star like Greg Little, who Hugh Freeze, he didn't mince words about it. He said, we're going to need this guy to slide in, that he's going to have to work for it, but that's the plan right now, is for Little to be the left tackle as a true freshman. And then you get, I think if you ask the Ole Miss coaches, if you ask pretty much any coach in the country, what quarterback would you want? Shea Patterson. So you lock down the two most important positions on the offense of a left tackle and a quarterback. Then you bring in a pair of running backs, one that was the 7A State Player of the Year in Alabama, and Jerrion Street, and then the other, Devon Penniman, who had offers from the likes of Alabama and Georgia and Arkansas. And Alabama, Georgia, and Arkansas don't just offer any running back. That just shows you how bad they wanted that particular prospect and how talented he is, that they're going after him that hard. And if you need some tight ends, Ole Miss signed three of them, Jacob Mathis and Gabe Angel, who will both get starts at tight end, but could wind up on the defensive side of the ball at linebacker, but both very talented tight ends. And, of course, Octavius Cooley, the longtime Rebel commit, who's immensely talented as well. And you'd be remiss not to talk about just an incredible receiver haul, where you have a speedster like Trey Nixon, who runs a 4.3 40, or a 40 in the 4.3s, and runs a 10.700 meter, and is just an absolute burner. Some that Hugh Freeze says he doesn't believe that he has a guy like that already on staff, which, or on the roster, which says a lot considering you have a guy like Quincy Adeboyo, who has some pretty elite speed on the field. And then, of course, you have DK Metcalf, who's a big physical kid with great hands, and A.J. Brown, who, again, Hugh Freeze came out and said that he reminds him of Laquon Treadwell, the way he high points the ball, the way he's physical off the line. And, so that the offensive class is there were no real misses there. That was just all hits. And Ole Miss cleaned house on that side.
Turning the page now to 2017. You're only 363 days away from National Signing Day all over again. There's going to be an emphasis placed on the defensive side of the football for this class. Hugh Freeze has made a point to make that known already. They expect to probably bring in seven mid players, a combination of high school players and junior college transfers. So you can be looking for that. Most of them are going to be on the defensive side of the football, those mid-year guys, as they effort to make up for where they came up short on the defensive side of the ball in the 2016 class. You're starting to see these offers go out. Last night, the Rebels offered 2017 defensive end Addison Gums out of Stellar Prep High School in Hayward, California. Another offer went out to a three-star cornerback Cheyenne LaBruza out of Albany, Louisiana. You're going to see that in the coming days, a whole wave of 2017 offers going out, particularly on the defensive side of the football. Now, with that 2017 class, you know, let's talk numbers for a second. All right, Ole Miss signed 24 on Wednesday in this 2016 class. Hugh Freeze said they could have signed 31 had they had the right players. Now, the target number we were given, 27, perhaps as high as 28, if the right guys were to break the Rebels' way. Obviously, they missed on three on Wednesday, which would have put that class at 27, but it ended up at 24. So you've got those seven scholarships that move forward into a 2017 class that, if you look at the Ole Miss roster, there are 19 seniors on that class. So that's 19 spots right there plus seven, so it gives you 26. Now, there's this whole NCAA thing looming. There may be a scholarship reduction, whether it's self-imposed or NCAA-imposed on the football program. I think that's hanging out there right now. So, you know, we'll see what that is. We don't expect it to be major. A couple of scholars is probably what you're looking at right there. So setting that stage for 2017, how many will they take? You know, somewhere between the 20-25 range. Let's see what we learn in the coming days and weeks regarding that. And, of course, that's always a moving number. Keep that in mind. Attrition has to be factored in, attrition that we don't know about right now. All of that is kind of on the plate. So, but a 20-plus class in 2017. And, Dave, in this 2017 class, it looks like they've already identified the quarterback that they want to take. And this is very, very important here because it's not going to be easy to go out in that 2017 class and convince a top-tier quarterback to come to Ole Miss and follow in the shoes and set behind 2 to 3 years Shea Patterson. But Ole Miss may have found their man in Calabasas, California, four-star quarterback Tristan Jebbia. And there's some things playing in the favor of Ole Miss and Jebbia. Now, granted, he's from California, grew up out that way, thousands of miles away from Oxford, and we all know how that very often plays out when you're recruiting the West Coast. Hard to get those guys in the end, as Mike Juarez proved. But Tristan Jebbia, an Ole Miss legacy, the number six, I believe, pro-style quarterback in America, based upon the 247 Sports Composite Rankings, his father, Rich Jebbia, tight end at Ole Miss in the late 1980s. Dave, you talked to Tristan last night. Kind of give us the vibe that he was sending you regarding Ole Miss.
Well, we talked about, you know, his Ole Miss legacy. And as you pointed out, David, you know, his father, Rich, is well known amongst Ole Miss fans for that legendary catch in 1989 against Tulane to in the last 4 seconds of the game, a little over 20-yard pass that, you know, sent the Rebels into victory over Tulane inside the Superdome. You know, he grew up listening, you know, to those kinds of stories from his dad. His mother also was a student at Ole Miss, and, you know, throughout his childhood and growing up, he just, you know, listened to those stories and, you know, talking with other friends and family, you know, back home, or, you know, in Mississippi, you know, those same stories, you know, he had heard over the years about, you know, his father's legacy at Ole Miss. He has not visited the Ole Miss campus yet, so that is one key thing to point out. He does plan on in the next upcoming 2 to 3 weeks. He told me he's 90% sure that he'll be over here in Oxford on an unofficial visit. So, and that would be the first time he's gotten to see Ole Miss. He's heard all the stories. He's done his homework on it. His parents have told him about the Grove, the Walk of the Champions. He's very familiar with the stories of it. He's ready to see it for his own eyes of what the campus is. Dan Warner, quarterback coach, is his primary recruiter. He told me that Warner was out there just a while back. to watch Tristan play. And he pointed out that Warner told him that, you know, we right now we feel you're the guy for us for the 2017 class. So, and as you mentioned, David, that the key factor is, you know, following in the shoes of you know, signing Shea Patterson. That is key, and I think it does build, you know, the footnote of recruiting moving forward. If you look at top tier programs, Alabama, you know, they have well known for signing highly rated quarterbacks year after year, and for Ole Miss to be able to be in that consideration, you know, it's just what we've said all along. You know, it's the new norm in Oxford to be in that heavyweight recruiting.
Jeffy, not only planning to visit Ole Miss within the next couple of weeks, he says that he plans on probably making a decision sometime in April.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have seen how important that is for your quarterback to jump on board early, as Shea Patterson did last February, almost a year to this day, and then immediately started helping Ole Miss build this 2016 class. Now, I'm not saying Jebbia can do what Patterson did, because Shea was just got a little salesman in his blood right there. As I mentioned yesterday, I don't think Ole Miss gets Greg Little. I don't think they get Deontay Anderson. I don't think they get A.J. Brown without Shea Patterson being a part of that 2016 class. So, things are kind of shaping up. You know, it's going to be a wild ride once again, no doubt about it. Inside the state of Mississippi, there will be some more prospects emerge. As we saw, 2017 Hattiesburg wide receiver Jordan Murphy picks up an offer from Ole Miss a couple of days ago. But not this class in Mississippi in 17 is not as deep as the 2016 class. 2016 class at top 25, you had a lot of Power 5 guys in there. I think you could say probably the 2017 class at top 10 will be Power 5. Beyond that, at this point, it looks like a lot of mid-major talent beyond the top 10 prospects inside the Magnolia State in this recruiting cycle. So it's going to be fun to watch, and we encourage you all to hang with us all year. It's going to be a blast as this class starts putting the blocks together. Who's the next man in? I don't know. One thing to talk about that we haven't talked about yet, T. Higgins, the wide receiver from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, decommits from Tennessee last night. We've been telling you for a month or more now, and some rumblings that T. Higgins really likes Ole Miss. I know you're reading the national headlines on that decommit this morning, and everyone's attributing it to his visit to Clemson last weekend. But I'm telling you, my Ole Miss sources told me more than a month ago, watch out. T. Higgins is probably going to break it off with Tennessee, and he is very, very interested in Ole Miss. So we'll see how that all plays out. Cam Akers, another one, committed to Alabama right now. Ohio State's making a big-time run for him. Urban Meyer's been to Clemson within the last 30 days to see him, or to check in on him, rather. But, you know, the tea leaves are telling us right now that, you know, Cam Akers has a lot of interest in Ole Miss. So could it be one of those guys that jumps on board first? We'll just have to see. But don't be surprised if the 2017 class doesn't grow a little bit before the end of the month of February, and we'll leave it at that. All right, Michael, the Ole Miss basketball team picks up a big win in Missouri the other night. They kind of had to piece it together as they're still battling injuries and things of that nature. Vanderbilt coming into the Pavilion Saturday night. Ole Miss certainly desperate to keep on winning if they're going to have any hope whatsoever of reaching the NCAA tournament outside of making a huge and unexpected run through the SEC postseason tourney. Michael, how big is this game for Ole Miss tomorrow night against Vandy?
Oh, they absolutely have to have it. You just get a finite amount of home games in conference, and Ole Miss really needs to come out with a win here, especially since they've lost two of their last three home games, with losses at or against Florida as well as South Carolina, and the schedule really does set up well for them down the stretch after this Vanderbilt game. And Vanderbilt is an incredibly talented team. In fact, Andy Kennedy voted Vanderbilt as the top team in the conference in the preseason. He thought that they were going to finish as the champions. And so there's Vandy, who's also really stacked down low with a lot of tall, talented players. They have a handful of seven-footers on the team. And so it would be really nice if Ole Miss had Sebastian Saiz for Saturday, but it's very doubtful that he'll play. But if they can string together a couple wins, they already had that win over Missouri. If they can beat Vanderbilt, then they go to Florida, who's very hot right now, host Arkansas, who this isn't your 2014-2015 Arkansas team. And then they have a really, really difficult test on the road in College Station against the Aggies, who are number 8 in the country, even though they got it poured on them last night by Vanderbilt, who I believe beat them by 17. But that's going to help the RPI with a road game at Texas A&M and give them at least an opportunity to get a big win. And then from there, Auburn, Missouri, Georgia, Mississippi State, Tennessee, a lot of winnable games. The way the schedule sets up, you really can't be more pleased about it if you're Ole Miss. But it all starts with getting that win over Vanderbilt tomorrow, and that's going to be no easy task.
What percentage would you say Stephon Moody is right now? I mean, is he 75%? Where is he playing at right now, Michael?
Right now, it looks like he's – the way Andy Kennedy said it, he says he's not even sure what he's working at right now, that from everything the doctors have seen, that he looks to be perfectly fine in that hamstring. Sort of the issue with that is once you injure a hamstring, when you're trying to explode with a burst, whether it's his jumping or when he's running down the court, anything that involves burst, there's sort of an anticipation there that, you know, you're afraid that you're going to injure it again. It's sort of a natural response from the body. So he sort of just has to get back into the flow of things, because he's most vital to the Rebels when he is playing that explosive role where he's getting to the rim and drawing lots of contact and he's using his speed and his leverage to hurt teams. And right now he doesn't have that. He still, of course, has a shot, but it's more of getting into the rhythm of things again than so much letting the hamstring heal.
Before we move on, I want to thank both of you guys, Dave and Michael, both for their outstanding contributions on our signing day coverage. And guys, they chew on me when things don't go as we tell them they're going to go. But I get an awful lot of credit for the good work that you guys put in, and I just want to absolutely commend both of you that you added so much to our National Signing Day coverage. Dave was up at 4:30 a.m. with me, and then Michael went in and hammered the press conference out like a champ. And we just, you know, guys, I'm blessed to have both of you, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And I want to do that in front of everybody listening to this podcast today, that we wouldn't be able to put the coverage out there that we do without Michael Quirk and Dave Bevin. So I hope you both are blushing right now, because that was the intention, and I certainly thank you for that. Now, Michael, a little later on this afternoon, you're going to brave the frigid temperatures of Oxford and head out to Swayze Field to check in on the Diamond Rebels. Tell us what you're looking for out there today.
Yeah, it's not exactly baseball weather. I don't think the late Ernie Banks would want to play two today by any means. But I'm going to be looking at right now. It looks like sort of the diamond is set as far as where you're going around the horn. That's going to be Holt Purdzok and Henry Lartigue, mostly Lartigue at catcher. And then Will Goldsmith at first base after the departure of Joe Wainhouse. Tate Blackman and Errol Robinson, of course, up the middle. Colby Bortles at third, with Connor Cloyd and Kyle Watson platooning in left field and possibly sharing a spot at the DH along with whoever's not playing at catcher, with J.B. Woodman in center and Cameron Deshaun over in right. And, of course, the closer role is solidified with Wyatt Short But the starting rotation, that's something that if you try and piece together what you think it's going to be, it's merely a guess, because right now not even Coach Bianco knows what it's going to look like after Brady Bramlett on Friday. Sean Johnson, he's coming off of Tommy John surgery, and I'll speak with him later today. He only got in one inning last year before getting injured, but he's certainly a candidate for that role. It's always tough to come back from that surgery and go right into pitching a lot of innings. But there's also two lefties that came in from junior college, and typically you don't want to go all from the right side in your rotation. So mixing in one lefty, I think that there's a good chance that one of them is able to crack the rotation if they can get some good innings in before the season. And then there's a pair of highly touted freshmen that Bianco said he's not overlooking putting them in the rotation. He did tell me that Stokes, who was excellent out of the back end last year, but struggled once he got into that rotation and was getting some starts. He struggled on Sunday a little bit and in the midweek. He will stay in the bullpen. Bianco's very high on him, but he showed last year that he's vital out of the bullpen. He gives you a lot of shutdown innings back there, and so he's going to stay there. So I'm really going to be trying to piece together day by day what this weekend rotation will be like. But I will say that even without who will be in the long reliever roles or in the midweek roles, Coach Bianco said that this is the deepest bullpen that he's had during his time at Ole Miss. So take that for what it's worth, that this team may not be the highest preseason ranked team that you've seen in Oxford in a little while, number 24 in the polls, and some polls don't even have Ole Miss ranked. But this is a team that's very, very deadly, and the lineup is going to be explosive and really fun to watch, and this could be a really good baseball team.
Major League Baseball scouts calling shortstop Errol Robinson the top shortstop in the college game. So, you know, that's the talent level that you're dealing with this Ole Miss baseball team. All we need now to enjoy this Ole Miss baseball team is warmer weather. You know, it's always, you know, opening weekend, and it's always, you know, you got to break out the parka and the headwear and the insulated boots and everything. You know, I don't know. I've often thought about being a proponent of moving college baseball back to an end of March start and just play it through the summer. Give us something to watch in the summertime or something, as opposed to hitting out there in February.
Nobody wants to get rained on cold beer in freezing temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
They call them the boys of summer, you know. But anyway, I guess it has to time up with the school year. Of course, if you play in the College World Series, you're going well past that anyway. But I don't know, food for thought. Maybe we start lobbying for that. You know, hey, let's start baseball on March the 20th as opposed to February the 20th. And, you know, let the ice, the sleet, the snow, because, you know, in Mississippi, late February, oftentimes, you get your worst weather of the winter, right, before spring arrives. So, you know, but who knows? Maybe it'll be sunny in 75 when the Rebels open up here in just a couple of weeks. But nice report there, Michael. We're looking forward to your coverage from Swayze Field later on today. Let's go to Dave Bevan for closing thoughts. Dave, what's on your mind today?
You know, I really do appreciate the compliment earlier, David. I've been with Rebels 247 for over a year now, and you know, I'm truly blessed to have this opportunity, and I really thank you for giving me that opportunity. And I also thank all the listeners, the readers, and the subscribers of you know, making this opportunity for me and welcoming me to the board. And so I'm just really thankful for that.
All right, Michael, your shot. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'll say that it can be a little there can be a little bad feelings that come out when you miss on a couple guys on signing day. But I think when you look at this class as a whole, there's really nothing to be unhappy about. That it's a very deep class, and Hugh Freeze said that was deeper than the 2013 class. which that says a lot. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to the positive vibes returning to the board, and hopefully Ole Miss can get to winning, and Seabus can get back, and everything can be right in Rebel Land again.
All right, my turn. I'm going to Memphis tomorrow. I'm going to cover the Grind City Classic Combine. That's going to be held at the D1 training facility in Collierville, which is an indoor facility, praise the Lord, because it's still probably going to be chilly tomorrow. A couple of top Ole Miss targets are going to be there. As I understand it, 2017 Memphis Trez event running back Cordarian Richardson is set to make an appearance at this thing, so I certainly hope to be able to corner him and bring you back some good information on his recruitment. If you remember back in December, he fired off a tweet with his top eight and Ole Miss was not in it. Now, since that time, I understand the Rebels have climbed back into the picture, according to my sources, but hopefully tomorrow we'll get it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak there. Also, Maurice Hampton, a 2018 prospect out of Memphis University School, Ole Miss offered a couple of weeks ago as a cornerback. He will be there. He is one of the top 2018, and I'm calling him 2018. He's actually a 2019. He is one of the top 2019 baseball prospects in America as a center fielder. Already has an offer from the Miami Hurricanes. Just an outstanding athlete all the way around. He says he's going to play both sports in college, but being recruited as a football prospect and a baseball prospect, when he gets stars attached to him as a football prospect, he'll at least start off as a four-star. Absolutely amazing, and I'm looking forward to watching him do some work tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening. This thing starts around 3 and probably won't end around 7 inside the D1 facility in Collierville. And he is open to the public. So, you know, if you're an Ole Miss fan and you want to stand around and watch these guys compete, they'll go through an NFL-style type combine before everything evolves to one-on-one drills where, you know, you've got some 7-on-7 action going on out there with skill position guys and the offensive and defensive linemen will mix it up down at one end of the facility. So we're excited about that and looking forward to watching some of the top talent. And, of course, you know, what we're looking for, what I'm going to be looking for, the guys we don't know about yet. You know, somewhere out there, there's a 10th grader that's going to end up with 4 stars by his name and 45 offers on a sheet that we haven't heard of yet. And oftentimes this is where you first see these guys. So I'm excited about that. And I'm going to stop in South Haven on my way home and eat at Memphis Barbecue tomorrow night. Guys, have you guys eaten there? You ever been there?
It's been a while. I have, but it's been a long time.
I can't say I have.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's right off I-55. Hey, look, they're not a paid sponsor of this program, but they ought to be. Oh, my goodness, man. Order the hot wings. I'm telling you, the hot wings in there are the size of turkey wings. I mean, they're huge, and they're tender, and they're just right. So I'm excited about that right now. That's what I'm excited.
Does it beat Abe's Barbecue, David? Does it beat Abe?
Man, you know, Abe's is in a class of its own, but I'm going to tell you something. Memphis Barbecue Company is underrated. Very underrated, if you ask me. And what's his name? Guy off the Food Network. He's made stops at Memphis Barbecue and done segments on them and things of that nature. I've never had anything bad in there, and every time I'm up there, I know when Eli was playing high school ball and we would play Horn Lake or South Haven or Lewisburg or anybody up there that put us in the area, we were either going to get up there early enough to eat before the game or we were going to hit it on the way back. And it's just become a favorite of mine, so that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow evening. That and drinking a nice tall glass of sweet tea. So that is my weekend. And then I'll bring you all the reports back from that combine on Sunday, the interviews and the top performers. Also, I'll tell you who else is going to be there. Will Lawrence, the 2018 offensive lineman out of Harding Academy that has about 45 offers right now. Going to be one of the top offensive line prospects in the country when all said and done. He will be there as well. Got some top guys coming in from the state of Oklahoma. Looking forward to seeing them again. Also some Mississippi talent that will be headed north up there to compete in what they're calling the Grind City Classic. So excited about that. It's amazing. As soon as National Signing Day is over, the camps and combines begin, and you're starting to see more and more of those things pop up. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us on this Friday, February 5th on Rebel Rise Live. Thank you for listening. So for Michael Quirk, Dave Bevan, I'm David Johnson, and as always, hotty toddy.